is the voice of literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week, we hear from Dr. Christine Woodcock, instructor for American International College. She does research involving adolescent girls' negotiations of embodied knowing, the female body, and literacy. Welcome, Dr. Woodcock.
Hello, thank you.
Tell us about yourself and how you got interested in these interesting components of your study, embodied knowing, female body, and literacy.
Well, I think in America especially, there's just such a strange sort of undeniable fixation on women and body image. It's sort of all over television and such a part of our culture. I sort of have always noticed that there's this sort of disturbing phenomenon of adolescents sort of abusing and misunderstanding their bodies.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I've been overweight much of my life,
mm-hmm.
and so combining that with the fact that I'm a literacy specialist, I sort of naturally became really fascinated by our bodies and literacy education.
Hmm.
So I started out interviewing adolescent girls just about their literacy practices quite a few years ago now, just because it was something really natural for me. And then what was so fascinating was that even though I was asking them about books and reading and writing, they would often bring up their bodies when we were talking about that. So when I had lost a considerable amount of weight a couple of years ago, all of a sudden I could see the connection myself. And then I went back through the data, and that sort of landed me where I am today.
Now, what do you mean by they would bring up issues related to their bodies?
For example, if I was just asking them really simple questions such as, tell me about what you're reading and writing these days, they might bring up their diaries, journals, magazines, romance fiction, those types of things that are really common among mm-hmm. adolescent girls.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably, what would follow was this strong theme of them bringing up their own bodies, body images, their weight, things that are also so common in adolescent culture.
Yeah, yeah. In your article, you talk about agency as well as voice silence. What do those mean? What do you mean by those terms?
I always always say to my students that agency is sort of a fancy word for autonomy.
Hmm.
And it's sort of when we realize that we have this capacity to act in the world and give personal meaning to our world. So I just think of agency as sort of a fancy word for those ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then with voice, voice is really more straightforward than I'm not trying to use voice in sort of like a weird secretive way. I really mean voice as opposed to being silent about something.
Hmm.
And also getting past those really old ideas of the seen but not heard that we've, you know, really struggled with in years past. You know, there were always those old things about children and women that they're to be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how much today's generation even feels that way. I think that, fortunately we've overcome a lot of that, but I think of voice in those ways.
Okay, yeah. And so now that you've done this work and have worked with these adolescent girls and found that they frequently brought up issues of their bodies, what would you tell teachers? How does this relate to the classroom?
Well, I find that what happens a lot with if there is a discussion about body image or something, which is actually quite rare, a lot of teachers and teacher educators, we often go right to critical literacy, that if we were looking, if we were engaging critically with our text, if we were using a critical eye, that we could just, you know, deconstruct or look more deeply at why the body image is presented in a certain way, for example, in a magazine. Mm-hmm. And what I want to get through is that I think it's a little more complicated than that, because we already, in the first place, I don't think enough teachers do address these topics because we're busy and have state mandated curriculum and all sorts of constraints on our time and careers. But, you know, so beyond that, first of all, I think we need to be talking about body and body image. And then secondly, instead of just having superficial conversations about it, I think it can go way deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that students, whether they're adolescents or adults, they need a systematic way to consistently engage with their texts. Because there's a lot of patriarchal culture out there that I don't think adolescents know how to navigate, and they could be doing really creative things to sort of look at bodies and body image and how things are portrayed in the media, but I don't think enough teachers bring in, weave in pop culture in ways that may be really meaningful to students.
Yeah, and I could see a teacher being sort of squirmish about bringing up these issues, especially with a group of adolescents that are boys and girls. How would I do this tactfully in a way that the class doesn't just roar?
I think that one way we could do it is, I think in the first place, we sort of need to show the students that the power relationships exist in the first place, and then explore that. Because I'm not even sure sometimes if both adolescents and adults really realize the power relations exist in the first place. And kind of establishing that in a culture of respect and using maybe different forms of media, such as short video clips and things like that, different creative ways to show that the power relations exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think that students need a language to discuss these things.
Uh-huh.
And I think one of my easiest examples is to use a countertext, you know, so that they're reading intertextually. So maybe a piece of pop culture that's appropriate for the classroom up against one of the books they're currently reading.
Right. Yeah, that's a nice idea.
Right. Yeah, and I think one of the most important pieces is that adolescents produce their own artifacts related to body. Because adolescents are huge consumers of culture, but what they need to realize is that they can also be producers of it. That's really key, because then the students feel like they are authors with agency.
Yeah, yeah, and certainly with the internet, you know, it's easy to suddenly broadcast all kinds of things, and issues of bullying and all kinds of things have been coming up in terms of things people are publishing and what they're saying about each other. How does this relate then to parents?
Well, I think that what happens is there's such a focus on body image, I think especially in girls' lives, but we could have a whole separate interview just about how this pertains to boys as well. I think that it would be wonderful if parents were doing the same types of things at home, where they're sitting down and having conversations about what is being presented in the media, and, you know, again, having two texts to sort of look at together, whether it's a magazine and a TV program or a book and a TV program, whatever the text may be. I don't even mean text in terms of books. But I think it's important to have these conversations and not be squeamish about it.
Yeah.
And again, the children need language to discuss these things. They sometimes don't have the words for it.
Yeah, and
I think a lot of the same things that I would say to teachers, I would say similarly to parents.
And I like your comment about also establishing it in an atmosphere of respect and modeling for them how these topics aren't taboo but can be discussed respectfully is nice.
Yeah.
What do you tell the leadership, the school leadership, the policymakers, the principals? How does your work inform them?
I have one dedicated section in my article that's all about the physically controlling nature of some schools. And I can't help but think of principals and different administrative leadership when I write those sections, because I've been in lots of different schools in this country, and what I find is that some are more controlling than others. I don't want to make a blanket statement that all schools are controlling environments, because that's absurd. But I find that the culture of many schools here in America tends to be physically controlling.
Hmm.
And what I do in my article is I discuss that and how it affects adolescents. Mm-hmm. That when they're feeling very physically controlled, I understand that some students need that, but many do not, and they thrive and learn better when they aren't so physically controlled. So a large part of my article, I think, would really be interesting to principals and different folks in leadership roles to kind of rethink the way they enforce such things as discipline and punishment, mm-hmm. and the ways that teachers interact. And then the last thing I'll say very quickly is just, again, providing avenues to openly and safely discuss taboo topics, and creatively interweave pop culture in schools more often. Because let's face it, those are the things that really do matter to teenagers, and we really rarely discuss them.
Boy, you could really pique their interest in reading and writing a whole variety of things if you could model a legitimate discussion on the topic.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. What do we still need to learn? Where are you going with this next?
Well, I think that what I'd like to do now is just further these discussions linking body and literacy. I just don't think there's enough of a link that's really being explored. There's obviously, I don't need to convince anybody that adolescents have strange ideas about their bodies, and there's a weird fascination with body image in this culture. So what I think is missing is more work linking literacy and body.
Yeah, interesting.
So I think that those, and then, you know, just lastly, I'll say, in the ways that I mentioned, teachers could implement these types of things. I'd love to work with teachers who are willing to implement these types of things and then do studies to see how successful or not it is.
Yeah. Sounds great. Very interesting. Dr. Christine Woodcock from American International College. You can find Dr. Woodcock's research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 42, Issue 4. This podcast is now available from iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Woodcock. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and pose questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.